Hey guys, this is Liv Matthews, and you're listening to the Southern Shade Podcast, previously called As I Live and Bree. Just to let you know, episodes 1 through 5 were hosted by myself and Bree Walters, who decided to leave the podcast. We replaced her with my best good friend, Jay Jansen. And to let you know, the audio quality does get better after we upgrade our equipment in about episode number 11. Thanks guys for the listens.
Coming from their home studio, straight into your ear hole, you are now listening to As I Live and Bree, with Liv Matthews and Bree Walters.
Welcome back, guys, all our Bree livers out there. I'm Liv Matthews, and Bree's out on vacation, so I've got our lovely Jay sitting in with us.
Hey, guys.
So today we are talking about some unfortunate events that has happened while we were doing the do, you know, having some intercourse.
Having some intercourse. Really, right. Girl? You was fucking.
Yeah.
That's what you was doing.
We were getting it in. Recently, this past weekend, me and the Hubs, we were getting together. And I'll be honest, you know, because we've been married for so long, it's kind of waned a little bit.
So how do you keep your sex life, like, hot? When you've been with someone for, geez, half your life.
Well, I thought I had the answer, but clearly I did not. So I thought that, you know, sometimes we will watch like a porn or whatever. I end up like laughing through most of it because it's just so unrealistic. So he's doing me like, you know, doggy style. I'm like throwing it back at him. And so I say, is that all you got? Is that all you got? And he's just like going at it. I mean, he's doing a great job. I was really enjoying it, but I'm just like, is that all you got? I thought he was just going to reach up, grab my hair, you know, pull it back and be like, I'll give it to you. But he did not. I mean, at all.
What did he do?
So all of a sudden he just stops. I thought maybe he just need a break. I don't know. Like, you know, we're at that age. Did we get a cramp? Did we... you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the worst. That is the absolute worst.
Right.
Nothing like right in the heat of the moment and then full on leg cramp. And you're like, ow, ow. There's nothing sexy or cute about that.
I agree.
There's nothing sexy or cute about normal people's sex. Anyway,
it's not. Everybody like has all these like fantasies and things like that, but it's just it never goes that way.
It never goes like it does on TV. You know, TV totally gives you a misconception of how sex really is. A lot of the times it's not cute. It's not pretty. The faces that you make are not like the bitches on the porn. It just ain't like that.
No. And I've been watching like TikTok. I know I'm a little too old for that, but you're the one who turned me on to watching TikTok.
Down the TikTok rabbit hole you go.
I'm going to tell you, they'll do like, this is what I look like on top. This is what I look like on, you know, on the bottom.
I have not seen those TikToks. What?
Well, girl, it's just the phone, the camera is like either lower or higher. Either way, you look horrible.
Yeah, it's not cute.
It's not. So the Hubs, he is doggy style, just, you know, getting it pounded up, doing a great job, I promise. But I'm like, is that all you got? Is that all you got? And then all once he just like stop. And so, you know, I didn't want to like shame him or anything. So I just kind of hold still for a second. Thought he was going to work that cramp out or whatever was going on with him. And next thing you know, I mean, but now it's taking a little longer. So I like turn around and look at him. He is sitting on the edge of the bed with his arms folding, looking like a big naked baby.
Little baby Buddha.
A little baby Buddha. And he's just like, I'm like, what's wrong, honey? And he's just like, I was doing the best that I could.
He was on his man period. That is such a real thing.
Man period.
That is a real thing, though. Men have menstrual cycles. I swear to God they do. Not in the conventional sense, but I mean legitimately. Like, sometimes they need to put their vagina away. Like, they have a bigger vagina than I do.
Well, I felt bad for him because clearly, I mean, he was doing a great job. I was just trying to spice it up a little bit. I mean, we've got like a whole drawer for toys and things like that. I just thought it would be a way that we'd have to break out all that stuff, because then you have to do the cleanup and, you know, washing the toy, you know, all that. So I just thought it would be a nice little way, just be like, because we've, you know, do the dirty talk before, but it's mostly him doing it to me. So I just thought this time I would do it to him. But he's legit on the side of the bed with his little arms crossed, pouting like a little baby Buddha. And I'm just like, what? And he's like, I was doing the best that I could. And I was like, honey, I was just like trying to like talk dirty to you. He's like, well, you didn't tell me that. I thought we were just going to be spontaneous. I didn't know that I had to have a whole conversation. Like,
we have to now script sex. Is that what I'm hearing?
Clearly we need to do that.
Okay, I'm going to need you to pull my hair.
Right.
I'm going to say some things to you that I'm going to need you not to be offended by.
Uh-huh.
That's the most, man. That is absolutely the most. Like,
I know.
Takes all the fun out of it.
Poor little, I mean, we can laugh about it now, but at the time, I was just like, and then we didn't even finish up because, I mean, at this time, he's in his feels, and I'm starting to get a little offended. Like, seriously? All those dirty things that you have told me in the past, you know? Like, yeah.
You're going to wimp out and be baby Buddha on the end of the bed now?
Right, for just saying, like, you know, is that all you got, daddy? Like, it, I don't know. It was a lot. But it reminds
you were probably a little bit more forceful with that than you, in your head, were. You know? So, probably, it was legit him being on the end of the bed, like baby Buddha, because you were probably like, is that all you got, motherfucker? And in your head, it was sexy, but in real life, it was kind of...
You're right.
Criticizing him a bit, if you will.
I know, like, I didn't know that he was so upset about it, but now we find it hilarious. I mean, I thought 16 years of marriage that if I just say, is that all you got, big deal? You know, but you're right. I was a little bit more forceful with it. I thought I was being playful, but...
You're just being mean.
I guess I was just being mean. But I mean, like, there's been times that, like, we've tried to be, like I remember this one time, like, when the kids were, like, younger. We're in the living room by ourselves. The kids are taking a nap. Thank goodness for nap time back in those days. So they're taking a nap, and he's just all, like grabs me up, and, you know, things are starting to happen. But he wanted to, like, kind of pick me up and kind of, like, throw me on the couch sort of thing. But I'm going to tell you, I'm a big girl. What happened was a kind of, like, a half effort, and I stepped on a sippy cup. And girl, that thing rolled. And I go rolling backwards. But I clenched everything to try to keep from falling. And I squirtled. I peed a little.
You squirtled.
Yeah, I squirtled.
Oh, Lord. That's going to be a new term for 2021. You squirtled.
I know. It's a Pokemon, but for some reason, every time the kids say squirtle, that's what it reminds me of. It's just like
I can see that.
Squirt a pee. But I guess normally that doesn't happen, but I guess maybe I, like, rolled on the sippy cup and about killed myself, landed on my back, squirtled on myself just a tad. And then he's wondering, like, why are we not getting busy now? Like, because he was still ready to go. I mean, I'm, like, laying on the floor about dead, and he's just all, like, just still, you know, full hard, like, trying to, and I'm like, no. I mean, like, I'm gonna have to wash this pee off. That's gross. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but I mean, it was enough. I don't want it on me. It was bad. Have you had any embarrassing?
You know, honestly, right now, none really comes to mind. I'm sure throughout the course of my life. Well, I did make one guy, like, bust his nut. Not, like, bust his nut, but, like, legitimately, like, broke his nut, I guess you could say. Like, he bobbed, and I should have weaved, but I bobbed too. And, you know, his poor little nut was, like, black and blue. We were really getting busy, though. So, yeah, there's that. And then there's always the, you know, the things that you build up in your head. Like, you want your man to, like, slam you up against the wall. But I immediately, if a man tries to pick me up, I freak out.
Yeah.
Like, my whole body, like, goes stiff. Like, Weekend at Bernie's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just, rigor mortis is set in and I'm freak out.
Right.
And so it doesn't always, it never is cool. It's never cute. It's never sexy.
Usually my to-go term, like, automatically comes out of my mouth. Even anybody tries to pick me up, I'm like, you're going to get a hernia. And they're just like, I'm not sure what a hernia is. And you don't want it, okay?
You're gonna get one. You don't want one. I'm telling you, you don't want one.
Yeah, put me down. You're going to get a hernia. That's funny that you tell that story, because have you ever had, like, somebody slip out? I mean, everybody's had, like, a slip.
Oh, God.
Sometimes they'll hit you in the butthole, you know.
Right in the poop chute.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah.
And invade, like, all of your privacy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've had that happen more times than I care to. And that is, like, an instant mood killer, you know? Slip out and bam, bust it in your ass. And you're just like, oh, my God.
Right. And you remember, like, that joke is, like, how you make a woman sound like a dolphin. Try to put it in her butt.
I do the ant every time. It's like a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't ant.
Well,
no,
I remember... I remember, so his, you know, his testicle swelled up and got all bruised and stuff that you were talking about, your partner, my labia. So he was, like, all getting busy or whatever. And somehow he hit the side of the labia. Normally that wouldn't do anything. But all of a sudden, like, I'm feeling like, so he keeps going and I'm feeling like, oh my God, like, did I, like, forget to, like, remove a hair or something? It almost felt like there was a hair and it was being pulled on. Well, over the course of him finishing up, he, like, everything started starts swelling. The next day, my mom's pubis, the fatty area with hair on it, okay? It is 3 times as big as it normally is.
So what happened?
He slipped out, and I guess because it's vascular down there, that it essentially just swelled up. You could part the little hair that I did have, like you could part it and see that my mom's pubis was completely bruised. It looks like a blueberry. I had a blueberry for a cooch.
A blueberry for a cooch.
Yes.
Well, Willy Wonka hasn't got nothing on that, let me tell you.
So I was like, oh my goodness. So, you know, wearing jeans and
stuff. Oh, it's got to rub, right?
Oh, girl. I'm going to tell you, it took probably about 3 days for it to go down. And then, of course, it's turning color. So now the bruise, like blueberry, is now kind of greenish yellow. Well, that's just not good.
That looks like a sick poutine. Right. It's very sick. Don't look at it, please.
And he never knew. He was not the wiser. Like, I never told him. He was my first, you know, and I never told him at all. I was just kind of like, oh my goodness, this was so embarrassing. But I really had to walk around like that for like 3 days with a blueberry cooch.
Well, my most embarrassing story, and I had to tell it, was I was fixing to go away for a weekend trip to the beach with my boyfriend. And the night before, I'm riding down the road. I always put my leg up in my seat. I know that's not a safe thing to do, but I do. So I had on a pair of like gym shorts or what, loose fitting, you know, and I'm riding down the road and I'm smoking a cigarette and I go to ash out the window. Mm-hmm. The cherry flies off, rolls into my short, and I didn't have underwear on with the short, so it rolls and burns the side of my labia, which instantly, in the burn, swells up extremely large. It is the most painful thing ever. So, you know, the next day, I'm like, well, look, we can't have sex this weekend because I've burnt my labia with a cigarette, which made me automatically, I wish that it would have made me not ever want to smoke again, because yeah. Obviously that's horrible. His response to that was just put your hand over it. So we had sex the whole entire weekend with me putting my hand over that burn, which, let me tell you, was not comfortable either. Uh-huh. At all. And then, of course, he wants to go down on me and a man with a beard.
Oh.
In that fresh, nice pink meat burn.
Yes.
That was horrible. And, you know, me being dumb and in love, like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
It was not great. I highly do not recommend that. If you have injured your junk, do not engage in intercourse at all.
Right. Give it some time to heal, right. And then we can revisit this later. Right. Well, I think that my best story that I have is me and the hubs. When I first was pregnant with our first child, and, you know, I affectionately call my children Double D. They're, you know, I've got a big D and a little D. It's kind of like my breasts. Okay.
Because one's always a different size.
That's right. One's always bigger than the other. And so my oldest, you know, his name starts with a D, and he's the oldest, so he's Big D. And then I've got Little D. So anyway, I was pregnant with Big D, and for my first pregnancy, I was super horny, like super horny. And so I'm probably like in the last month, and we're getting busy. Doggy style again, just because, you know, when you're pregnant, you probably shouldn't be on your back. It can restrict blood flow, but still, yeah, it's just not comfortable. So, you know, doggy style. Well, I've got Bertha on the clit. You know, she's going. Hubs is hitting it from the back, like doggy style. Everything's going great. All of a sudden, I go into an orgasm. I'm talking about like an orgasm. My pregnant belly went from this large pregnant belly into, I got it, like a contraction, and it went to the size of a grapefruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all like, oh, God, oh. In which my husband is like, oh, yeah. And he just keeps tapping it. I'm still like moaning. Oh, I can't do anything. I can't move. I can't hardly say anything. And so he figures out, you know, who's moaning that much. You know, he's right. Just like, hey.
Wait a minute. I've never done it this good before.
Right. Really. I mean, I'm good, but come on. And so he's just like, babe, you all right? So I'm just like holding myself up with one arm, holding my belly with the other arm, and just moaning. Oh, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And so I'm just like, oh, cow tip me. And he's like, what? And I'm like, cow tip me. And I don't know if you guys know what cow tipping is. In the South, back in the day, I've never actually been, but of course, you know, people I knew, they would go out late at night, and while the cows were standing up, like sleeping or whatever they do, you just walk up and you just shove them real hard and they fall over. And they used to think it was the funniest thing. Like I said, never did this, but that's what came to me in mind. So I'm just like, cow tip me. And so he's like, what? And so I'm like, push me over. So he shoves me so hard. Now I'm looking like one of those fainting goats. Yes. We've got the full livestock over here. I'm going to tell you.
Finally. You got the barnyard. Yeah. The barnyard bedroom.
Yeah. It was so.
You probably snorted painful. A couple of times so the pig was present.
Yeah. Like all I needed him to be.
Templeton and Charlotte was the only things missing. You had full on Charlotte's web.
I was just like, oh my goodness. But he thinks that is the funniest story ever because he was just like, man, I really thought I was doing something. I was like, you were doing it.
You were doing the hell out of it. Whatever you was doing the hell out of it.
Right.
You was giving it your most.
Yeah, but I told him afterwards, I was like, I thought that baby was going to like pop out my vagina. Like, I was contracting so hard. Oh, God. It was really good, but bad. It was good and bad.
it was really good. But no. No, it wasn't. Yeah, I don't know that baby shooting out of your... If your marriage would have ever recovered from the... Like, if your sex life would have ever recovered. Like, obviously your marriage would, but...
Yeah.
I don't know that would have ever recovered.
Well, you know, like, some guys have, like, said before, because, you know, people tell us stuff all the time. But some guys are like, I'm afraid I'm going to be poking the baby in the head. Okay, that's not going to happen. But that's cute that you would think that it would.
Probably, like, honestly, actually just rocks the baby to sleep, you know? It's probably, like, a gentle just... It's kind of heavenly if you think about it. Like, I think I would like that. Just put me in some water and just gently jostle me to sleep, you know?
Soft kitty, warm kitty.
Yeah, let's don't do that.
Little ball of fur.
Well, every time I hear it, something to that effect. It reminds me of the Friends episode, the kitty song that blonde headed girl's name.
Oh, Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, that she sang.
Oh, yes. That used to annoy me. Everybody loved it. That used to annoy me so bad.
Everything about that show annoyed me so bad. And I'm sorry if you're an avid Friends watcher, but yeah.
And I didn't love that show. Like nobody's business lately.
Well, people are starting to rewatch the shows again. Like this last past week, I thought that I had COVID and so I distanced myself from the world. Ended up not being COVID. I tested negative, but, you know, I put myself on quarantine and stayed in my house and was just had the icky sickness. And so I binge watched Weeds, which I had never seen that show. Freaking hilarious. I loved it.
Oh.
I don't know why I didn't ever watch it to begin with, but,
I think I only watched like a couple episodes. Isn't that where they like took the weed and like stuck it in their oven and then like dried it out or something like that? That's the only thing that I can remember.
Oh,
no.
I don't know that I recall that. I don't know, but it was...
maybe that was something I did. I don't know. No, I'm just playing.
You're not playing. Yeah, so I've pretty much binge watched everything on Netflix that I possibly care to at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're sitting there watching TV with someone else and we're kicking around like, have you seen this? Oh, you know, well, maybe I can see this one more time. Like, I have legitimately watched everything. Being sick for me now, it's like, the only thing's missing is like, I need to learn how to crochet or something.
I have issues. Back when I used to work hospice, there was a nice little lady. She wanted to learn me how to like crochet or something. And so she did washcloths. Easy enough. But I'm gonna tell you, like halfway through the washcloth, I missed like a stitch or something. But not really realize it until I got like 3/4 the way down. And then I would have to pull it all the way back out. And this would go over and over again. I legit, in probably the 3 months that she lived, I probably only finished 2 washcloths. So it's not for me. It gave me a lot of anxiety, I'll be honest.
It gives me anxiety too. Like I think that some people find that relaxed. But, you know, I'm such a perfectionist that I don't find that relaxing.
Yeah.
So I will continuously, like, undo my work. Or I did crochet for an extended period of time and ended up with a really long string. I don't know what I was ever going to do with that. Possibly tie someone up. Like, here's my crochet bedroom toy. But,
That's funny. Like, tying somebody up with your little crochet. Like,
what else am I going to do with it? Because, obviously, I'm not going to connect it. Like, that whole process I wasn't down with. I never could follow through. It stressed me out. So that's not an activity that I'm going to like to do when I get old. I just completely understand that. But I have determined that I'm going to be an appropriate grandmother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I will be legitimate the one sitting at Christmas dinner and bust out laughing like, all y'all here because I fuck. You know? And may even say it out loud. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll definitely say it out loud. That's just me. That's who I am.
I'm actually waiting for that time. I want to be that person that gives 0 F. That just says whatever they want to and everybody just says, oh, bless her heart. It's just because she's old.
Well, you know what's really funny is the older that I've gotten, I realize that I'm that person so much now. So if you can totally take off the filter when I get older.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am like the Mikey. And I'm going to date myself when I say this. You know, remember the Mikey loves everything commercials, you know, oh, give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything.
Yeah.
I am the Mikey of, I will say what everyone else is thinking, just they do not have the balls to say it. So I just, whatever, even in the work environment, like I'm like, no, that don't work for me, because let me tell you why.
Yeah. Well, I hated that Mikey commercial for the simple fact is that my parents used to fat shame me And they would say things like, oh, just give it to Liv because Mikey will eat it.
That's horrible.
Well, you know, my mom, she always, even to this time, like, it doesn't matter how many degrees I get. She's just like, oh, yeah, I'm proud of you. But I can tell her I'll lose 5 pounds. And she's just like, oh, my gosh, that's so crazy, Liv. But I would rather her to be like, I don't really want to be known for being, like, pretty or skinny or anything. That ship has sailed, okay? However, I would like for somebody to be like, you know what? You're really smart. You're really clever. You're really funny. You're a good friend. You're a good daughter. Those are the things that I value. But clearly, my mother, she still holds on to my weight.
Well, I think that, you know, parents in our generation, they grew up with, you know, you had to be a certain type of way. You had to be prim. You had to be proper. You had to have a pretty daughter. They had to be a cheerleader. They had to be this. They had to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, nowadays things are a little bit more lax. And you know, I've given, of course, my children freedom to be what they want to be and not hold so many stereotypes. But, you know, the world is mean.
Yeah.
The world really is mean. If you don't look a certain type of way, if you don't dress a certain type of way, like, kids these days will be extraordinarily mean. Although, granted, we were mean as children ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think that's just the nature of the beast. Now, in my teachings with my children, I've always told them, like, you can be the nice kid. You can be remembered for being the nice kid, and that's totally okay.
I mean, how many times when we were in high school, we would see somebody who was not very popular. Like, they might not have anybody to eat lunch with, or somebody might be picking on them. I don't know how many times. They called us the Twin Towers, which is crazy because I'm very short and you're very tall. But whatevs.
And that always used to crack me up growing up. Like, people would look at us and be like, well, first and foremost, when I'm almost like 5'10",
mm-hmm.
and Liv is like, what,
5'2"?
5'2". Yeah. Okay, so we looked crazy beside each other. I had blonde hair. She was a brunette.
Mm-hmm.
And people would be like, are you guys sisters? No. What made you think that we were sisters? Like, we look absolutely nothing alike. You know, I'm damn near 6 foot tall. And here is my little friend. You know, like, what made you think that we were sisters? I never understood that.
I never understood it either. But we would always, like, not too many people, like, messed with us, though, in high school. I mean, I had a couple, like, you know, that little girl that spit on my book bag and we got in, like, a little scuffle. Which, another one of the girls that was present, she sees me a couple years later and says, hey, I really need to tell you something. So I was like, yeah, go ahead. She was like, I just want to let you know that I was the one who spit on your book bag and not Christy. And I was like, so me and Christy got in a fight? And she's like, yeah. I was like, wow. It's the only fight that I ever got into in school. But I legit got in a fight with a girl who didn't even spit on my book bag.
You fought the wrong girl.
I fought the wrong girl.
How horrible is that?
I know, but I went over there and I asked. I said, who effing spit on my book bag? Because it was a big hawker. It was nasty.
Ew.
And I just got the book bag. Now, we were poor. You know how poor I was as a kid. And I just got the book bag from Big Lots. But it was new to me and I was very proud of it. And somebody just spit over the lockers a big hawker. And so I went over there to the little cheerleading crowd and I was like, who effing spit on my book bag? And the only one that said anything was Christy. And she was just all like, I spit on your book bag. So I was just all like, well, that's the problem. She said something else. We got into this like big old like brawl or whatever. But I just felt bad because, I mean, I never would have put my hands on the little girl if she wouldn't have like ran her mouth. But I don't know. I don't condone violence. I'm not saying I'm not afraid of it, but I'm just saying.
Well, I think as a kid, we all got into those, you know, the tussles growing up,
yeah.
You know, every kid fights with someone in school.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, it was my only time and it was in middle school. But I was having a rough time at that time, like family life and things like that. Like I said, we were always super poor. My parents didn't read or write. So it's not like they had like self-help books. It's not like you had the internet and that. They really did the best that they could. They loved us. But they were back from the spare the rod, spoil the child, which I've always had a problem with. Interpretation is everything. You know, if you read a book, you may interpret it a different way than I do. So when you says spare the rod and spoil the child, I think of like a shepherd and his hook. He doesn't beat the sheep with it. He guides them. So if you spare the guidance, you're spoil the child is how I think. But my parents didn't look at that. They was talking about they gonna beat the crap out of you.
Well, I think that that's just a generational thing too.
Yeah.
You know, we talk more to our children than I think our parents ever talk to us. And we explain. Well, I know I do. And I know that you do. I know that we parent in similar ways. But I will have to say that this kind of led into my very favorite story of yours. And it was also my late father's favorite story of yours also.
Mm-hmm.
Your eye patch when you were a child. Please, please share.
So, my mom, bless her heart, she's a sweet soul. Have we always gotten along? No. We were very much alike in a lot of ways. And so, that's hard for me to admit. But in my, you know, latter years, I've realized how much I am like her in some ways. So it's actually one of my fondest memories because I'll be honest, as a mother, I don't know that I would have done this. So I had a real bad astigmatism as a child. I still wear glasses this day. My eyesight is horrible. So they told her in order to correct this and the fact that, you know, my eye was kind of turning in, you know, to correct that, that I had to wear an eye patch over my strongest eye so that my weakest eye would develop a little bit more. And I had to do this for like several months. So as a 5-year-old kid, they give me this nude eye patch. It's not like it was a black one, like I could be a pirate or nothing. It was just a nude eye patch.
So it looks like you have no eyeball whatsoever.
No eyeball, because I had to wear my glasses over top of it. So it looks like I had no eyeball. And every time I would look in the mirror, I would just cry and cry and cry. And then it would like come unglued, you know, because it was like a band-aid because it had like sealed all around it. It was a lot. And I would cry every morning. You know, my parents, they didn't like with that bull crap, you know, like you should clear
rub
it
some
up.
Dirt in it. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. But my mom, for some reason, was very soft about this. And every morning she drew an eyeball on this eye patch so that I could wear it.
I wish there was pictures of this. I really do.
I know. Because she would draw it with like eyelashes and everything. I mean, just with an ink pen.
I think I'm going to go to her and be like, hey, Belinda, I need for you to draw an eye for me on this piece of paper because I'm going to need this for evidence.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, like, it was so sweet that she did this every single morning before school.
So, did she give it a color or?
No, it's just an ink pen, blue or black ink pen, very preschool eyeball with eyelashes.
She gave it lashes.
Yeah. So lashes on it and everything. And so for some reason, my little 5-year-old self would look in the mirror after she did this. And I just felt pride. And I went to school, no tears. And I wore the little eye patch.
With the drawn on eye.
With the drawn on eye. Which now I look back and I'm just like, I probably should have just looked like I had no eyeball at all. But now I'm just looking of a horrid mess. Every time that Jay and I would get together, because most of the time I would attend a lot of her family functions because ours were so,
disjointed is a great word.
Yes, disjointed.
Dysfunctional would be better.
It was both. Yes. And so I would join a lot of her family functions, and her father, I'm going to tell you what, he was like the greatest thing because he would always, every time I'd come over, he'd be like, tell that story about the eye patch. And it doesn't matter how many times I would tell the story, he would just like hee-haw and laugh.
He got the biggest kick out of that. And I don't know what was so funny to him about that, but it is also my favorite story too. But I think in my mind, you know, looking back, like I remember my father like loving that story so much. Yeah. And him, the way that he would snicker and laugh, it just made it for me.
I know. Like, now, I kind of want to know like what he imagined in his head.
Oh, I have no idea. It probably is a lot more glamorous than the actual eye patch really was. Oh, or yeah. Maybe it wasn't and he had the vision.
Yeah, like maybe he just thought it was like just a little circle with like an iris or something, you know?
Right. Oh. Now, you were really close with my dad. Mm-hmm. Over the years. Your dad, it took him a while to warm up to me.
That's because we had a couple incidents which were totally my fault.
Well, now, that's the way the story got told. But Liv takes me to this party, this company that we were both working for at the time. Jeez, were we even out of... We weren't out of high school at this point, were we?
No, yeah, I think we were just out of high school, just barely.
I don't know.
No?
I think that it might have been our senior year. You know?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So either way, she goes to this party and aftershock. Holy crap. Cinnamon and the mouthwash flavor.
I still to this day cannot do Big Red Gum because of that.
So Liv starts taking shots of this aftershock like they're not going to make anymore.
Yeah, and I had not ate anything that day because that's when I was dieting.
Right, so she's taking mad shots, and after probably about my second, I realized that she's really into it and I better stop drinking because at this point in time, she's starting to come out of clothes.
I got really, really hot, and at some point, this is what I was told, at some point during the night, I have taken my shirt off and I'm walking up to people, couples, non-couples, just random people, and saying, hey guys, let's conga. I don't know how to conga. I mean, like, I just know, like, to grab people's hips and go, hey. I don't know if there's much more to that. I don't know. But in that time, I really thought that I knew. But I'm in my, I didn't have a lot of money back then. I was in my Walmart Cross Your Heart bra. I had no business showing off this white Madonna cone titty bra.
She was being the absolute most. So she's randomly walking up to couples. I'm at this point fearful that I'm going to have to get her out of some altercation.
Yeah.
Finally get her talked into, hey, let's go home. We get in this other girl's brand new car to drive to our car that we had left at our work location, and Liv pukes all over the back seat of this girl's brand new car. Like, legit, I don't think she'd stroke the first payment on the car.
No.
Maybe the first week that she'd had it.
In which I denied. I did not think that this happened. She blamed me for it, and like, still, like, I think I saw her a couple years ago, and she said something about me puking in her car, and I denied it. Like, I mean, like, I was like, I absolutely did not. And then you and I was talking about it, and you were like, nope, you did.
You so did, because I was back there trying to clean it with paper towels and what have you, and she's like, no. You know, I think we promised to, like, pay to have it detailed, what have you. So anyway, we get her in my car and I get her home. And when I pull up in the driveway, I realize that she is so inebriated that I'm going to have to carry her in the house. I can't do this by myself. So I sneak up to the house and get her brother, who was just a year behind her. And I'm like, hey, bub. I, to this day, call her brother bub because he was like my brother also. And so I get him out to the car and I'm like, gotta get your drunk sister in the house. So I've got Liv draped over my back and he's kind of got her feet in like a wheelbarrow motion. And we're inching her toward the door. And it was probably, you know, your door wasn't very far from your driveway, but it had to be the longest distance I think that I've ever walked in my whole entire life.
Well, I mean, I'm a big girl and I've always been a big, that's a lot. And especially, I'm pretty sure I was not given any help at all.
You weren't. You were totally like limp noodle.
Mm-hmm.
I get her in the bathtub. At some point during us trying to be very quiet, she was not very cooperative. And her dad is clued into the fact that Liv is shit-faced drunk.
Yeah.
And he was a big guy. He's in my face. We're like nose to nose, and he's screaming at me that, you know, I'm such a horrible influence and I'm a bad friend. And, you know, maybe I was a little bit, maybe I had egged it on a little bit, but
nah.
Legitimately, like, I'm like, no, I sobered up and I, you know, she called me to drive her home. I wasn't even there, you know? And so, yeah, she though, in that shit face composure, knew to say, it wasn't Jay's fault. It was my fault. I'm stupid, stupid, stupid.
Oh yeah. I kept like hitting myself in the forehead with my pointer finger. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. Oh my goodness. And we had a waterbed. And
oh,
I
God.
Slept on that waterbed. I was so nauseated.
No, you did not sleep on the waterbed. You know what you did? I slept on the waterbed.
Uh-huh.
You actually, Indian style, sat on the floor and propped your head up against the waterbed right there at my head. You did not sleep on the waterbed.
Oh, thank goodness. Because, oh, I was just so sick. But yes, I kept telling my parents, you stop hollering at her. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. It's my fault. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I just kept going on and on. But my parents, the next day, they had taken like the wires off of my car and like the license plate and everything, and it was just all like, you're grounded. And I said, I bought the car and it's my insurance. I was just like, how do you ground me from that? They were like, yeah, that's a good point. They went and put the wire, and I said, plus I gotta go to work in a few minutes, in which they went and put the wires and the thing back. But I get to work, and I'm going to tell you, I'm hungover. That aftershock is, it was an aftershock. And some lady comes up, and she's got this other guy with her, and they said, hey, Turbo. And I said, excuse me? I don't know these people. And they're like, hey, Turbo. And I was just all like, hey, just trying to play it off. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to be funny or something. They were like, you don't remember us from the party last night? And I was like, no, I don't. I don't remember a lot from the party last night. They were like, oh, we remember you.
Yeah, I think you were essentially giving that man a lap dance while holding his wife's hand. You got a little out of control, if I'm honest.
But, you know, I always included both parties.
I mean, thankfully, yes. And that's between them two. It got a little sketchy there for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I was really afraid that I was going to have to like interject and like break up a fight or something. And,
well, I remember somebody had told me that there was a police officer that night, and he was like a big, tall man, and he just come by or whatever. But I spent a lot of the night laying on his chest, like wherever he would go, I would just like follow him and just kind of lay on his belly and chest as he's standing. And he would just like joke it all, you know, and like keep drinking his beer. Well, I think that was, they also told me that right after that, I was on the lawn in a kneeling position, just hurling everywhere.
There was a lot of sketchy situations that we got each other in growing up, like real sketch.
Remember when you had a little bit to drink and you were in my driveway on your knees saying, get out my belly, like fat bastard.
Yeah, I had a total fat bastard moment. I don't even know what brought that up, but I do remember being on all fours in your driveway. I was mad drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade. To this day, I can't drink Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sort of tastes the same coming up as it does going down, so that's a little bit of a bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I remember being so sick and in the middle of that, finding a little bit of humor, and for whatever reason, I started saying, get out of my belly like fat bastard. And right. Liv thought that was the funniest thing ever.
That is the funniest thing ever, because I was just like, so I'm sitting there, I just think it is so funny that even though she is so drunk, she's still making jokes about like fat bastard. And that movie had just came out like a couple years back, and I was just like, I just thought it was the funniest thing. That is too funny.
So even, you know, completely obliterated, I still have a little bit of humor sometimes.
Well, I'm going to tell myself just a little bit. The first time that I ever smoked weed, the very first time, was with Jay. Now, I'm a nurse and I haven't smoked weed in, I'm going to say, 20 some years or done any illegal substances. However, it didn't mean that I didn't enjoy it back then. It's just that it is frowned upon in the medical field, so I will not. However, she's trying to tell me how to do it. I don't even know. Did you even really know how to do it? Like, or were you just...
Well, I had been smoking at that point for a while, not weed, but...
Yeah, smoking. Cigarette. Yeah. So I was like, oh my god. So it was out of like a bong. And I didn't know what the carburetor was and all this other stuff. I don't know. So she's trying to tell me how to do it. And so she's like, you just pull, 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 you know, like that. Just fill up the chamber. And then, you know, we'll pull out the carburetor and then you just kind of suck it all in. I had never really done that before.
We were in like a freaking maybe 2-bedroom trailer at this point. Like, not a large space, you know. Mm-hmm. So Liv starts hitting this bong and she's pulling and she's pulling and she's pulling and she's pulling. I'm like, dude, stop, pull the carburetor. And so she pulls it and then she, and I'm talking like it was a clear bong. So the whole entire thing was like completely white. So she had filled this thing up and she pulls the carburetor. And the next thing you know, she looks at me and she says, I don't think I got anything. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just waiting for her to like bust along at this point. And she exhales and the whole entire room, I'm talking the whole entire living room, fills up with so much smoke you could have cut it with a knife. And I'm like, how did you not just die? How did you not just die right now?
All I remember is later on, like maybe a couple few minutes later, I am now just like high. I'm very high. And I'm sitting on the floor and I'm just looking around at everybody. I realized that my vagina area, butt area, like everything that I'm sitting on is completely numb. Like, completely numb. And I was like, oh my god, do I gotta pee? Like, oh. I just remember just, like, the whole time, like, and it was, like, this panic. Like, oh my gosh. But at some point during the night, I decided that I was going to... I was at the Oscars, like, accepting an award.
She was always the most, but she was high. One time I convinced her that I was an alien and I wasn't even from this planet. And I had her going so much. She was like...
That was so mean.
She was crying.
I was paranoid. And so then she sends me home, okay? Takes me home. And so I'm there and I call her back later. And I'm like, hey. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm standing in the corner of the kitchen. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I'm making brownies. She's like, okay. Well, that sounds, you know.
Well, first I called her and I was like, are you high? And she's like, nah, I'm not high, man. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm making brownies. I was like, you were definitely high. She was like, nah, I'm not high. I just wanted some brownies. Like, you are definitely high. If you're right. Sitting there making brownies, you were definitely high. And I think prior to making brownies was you had fed the dog some Alpo. And licked the spoon like you would do if you were...
Yeah, but I mean, I was stirring those brownies forever.
It probably just seemed like forever. It wasn't really forever.
No, because I remember you saying, like, look, why are you stirring the brownies so long or something like that?
It had chocolate chips in it, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it did. I thought that it was, I couldn't get the lumps out. But turns out it had either, like, walnuts or chocolate chips or something like that. That's what it was. And so you, even though you wasn't there, was just like, well, does it have, like, nuts or chips, chocolate chips in it? And I was like, I don't know. And you were like, read the box. And so I did. And I'll be dang. But yeah, I used to think I was so brilliant when I would get high. I would write in my journal, and I, like, I really thought I was brilliant, but then I would read it the next day, and wow, not so much.
Woo, girl, you're going to have to tone that down just a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened is I stopped getting high. It was only for like a little brief period we went that we were just kind of trying things out or whatever. But
experimenting, being kids.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm kind of worried. I hope my kids don't do it. I know they will, but I hope they don't.
Oh, I mean, you know what? With my daughter, you know, she just recently graduated from high school this past year. Horrible year for her as far as COVID and everything being shut down and not getting to go to her senior prom or her graduation for that matter. But, you know, I'm very thankful that my daughter was nothing like me because, you know, they always say, like, you'll get paid back tenfold for what you were to your parents. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, not that I was a horrible kid, but, you know, I was the most growing up, you know? Like, I kind of pushed my limit with my parents as much as I could. So, I was very gracious that my child was nothing like
that. Yeah, she was a good girl. So, I guess this sums up our podcast. If you're going to experiment, please be safe. That means sexual, with drugs, you name it. Please do look at the box of brownies to make sure that it doesn't have walnuts or chocolate chips in it. That's going to be the reason for your lumps.
I think these are great takeaways.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed once more doing the podcast with you. Hopefully I will stick around and talk with you guys soon.
Yes, definitely. So, call to action. Everybody, please follow our podcast. You can do it on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. Any of the podcatchers. And then go to our website, asiliveandbree.com. We have someone in France. They have listened to every single one of our podcasts. I'd really like to know who they are. Drop us a line. We'll call you out on the podcast. So, as always, you guys be good. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.